Okay, we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. Be sure to go by there. You'll find a link there to email me. Just say hello, we're listening. I know there's two people out there somewhere. And questions, comments, challenges, I'll take it all, whatever you got. Just send me an email and just put something on the subject line like, hi, we're here, anything. It doesn't matter. It's nice to hear from people once in a while. I can see there are people logged on there, so I know that somebody's listening, I hope. And let's see, when we left, we're in the Gospel according to Mark in chapter 7, where Yahshua is railing against those. He said, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites." And he often called them hypocrites. He called them like he sees them, and he saw hypocrites, and so that's what he called them. And he says, "You in vain worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For the laying aside of the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men." Yes, and that's hard to get away from. When you go into the corporate church, you're going to get the commandments of men mixed up with the word of God. It's called a watered-down, truncated gospel. They won't go near some things. You know, whatever does not go with the spirit of the day, the zeitgeist, with the idolatry of romance, if it's contrary to it, if it's going to upset all the women clinging to the Jezebel spirit in the congregation, you're not going to hear it in the corporate church. Not at all. Because I'll let the Messiah say it here in verse 8 of chapter 7, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, just like washing pots and cups and many other such things you do." And he said to them, "Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Full well you reject the commandment of God. And that's what they do in the corporate churches. Oh, the law was nailed to the cross. We don't have to obey the commandments, that heavy burden. Beside that, go out there and don't forget to obey every ordinance of man." And what a heavy burden. Have you ever read all of the ordinance of man? Well, you know, how much time do you got? How many lifetimes do you have? Now, I love the Word of God. I love His law. I love His commandments. I love the case law in the Scripture. You know, I can hold it all in my hand. That's right. And still have room. I could hold two of them in my hand, depending on how big the print is. The print gets bigger as I get older, though. But I can hold it all in my hand. I can read every word in a couple weeks if I put my mind to it. And I can study it. I can read it over and over. I can know it all. And it's got case law in it that I can understand because it's about real flesh and blood people, men and women and kingdoms. And it has history. It's got everything in it. And you know, another thing is, it's not going to change. I can count on the Word of God. It said adultery was a sin and I shouldn't do it 2,000 years ago. And you know what? It still says the same thing today. However, man's law, well, adultery used to be a sin, but it's not a sin anymore. However, owning an assault rifle used to be okay, but now you might go to jail if you still have one, and you might not even know they passed a law outlawing what you have. Who knows what makes you a criminal? And we're all criminals now because of the heavy burden of man's law. So that's a lie. You go into the corporate church and they say, "Oh, that heavy burden, you don't have to keep God's law." That's a lie. And they turn around and tell you, "But you must keep every ordinance of man." That's right. Go down and get your socialist slave number. Well, you don't have to. You have to now not just keep the ordinance of man, but you have to volunteer for everything that the government is offering. And if the government says, "Oh, you must have this mark to buy or sell or trade in our system," by golly, you better go get it. It's for your own good. As I had a pastor tell me, that's what welfare is there for. Yeah, forget the fact that you gotta go down and get a mark of the beast. Get a number, become their slave. That's what the government's there for. no charity here at the church. No, no, no. We need this money for our buildings, pension plans, and health and dental plans. Yes. And did I mention that big old mortgage we got on the church building? We can't help you. It's what the government's there for. That's what welfare is there for. That's what Social Security is there for. That's what they say at the churches. Yes, but what a heavy burden. You just have to give up all your liberty, all your rights, all your God-given rights, and you have to allow yourself to be put under the thumb of a tyrant. You have to become their slave. That's not a heavy burden, according to the corporate church. The law of God is a heavy burden. And because we bought into it and we follow these blind leaders of the blind, we're all in the ditch now. And there's no getting out, is there? Well, Paul said, if you can be made free, rather use it. And that's my advice. Become free. Come out of her, my people. Start putting those things off and everything that's associated with them. Yes, it'll be inconvenient. I mean, it certainly is inconvenient being a slave and, forget that you have to give 80% of your life's work to other people to take care of you. And you lose all of the riches of the bounty that God wanted to give you when he gave you your labor. He gave it to you. And his tax, he said, 10%, and take care of the poor when you're called on to do it. And he only called on them once every 3 years to take care of the poor, to do their duty, because he didn't want the poor to become dependent on welfare or charity. Yes, our Heavenly Father's plan is the best plan. And you know what? The New World Order is coming to a neighborhood near you. That's right. And it's his New World Order. There is no New World Order. Everybody's crying, New World Order, New World Order. But it's been here. The Roman Empire, we watched it morph from a solid iron in history to the broken iron that it is today, mingled with the clay. We are the clay. They are the iron. You know what? Migrate over here to the clay. That's all I'm saying. Cross the border into the kingdom of God and find eternal life. And then endure till the end, because the scripture says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. So get over here and stay over here. Invest yourself in his kingdom. Invest yourself in the clay. Leave the iron behind. Stop messing with that stuff. There's no salvation there. Ron Paul ain't gonna save us. He's one of them. He sounds good to our side, though, but yeah, he's one of them. We need to build his kingdom. That's what'll change the world. When we live in his kingdom, when we embrace his law and his commandments, and we cry out to him, I only want to do the things that please you, then we'll know what it is to love God. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How much more plain can it be than that? He said, not everyone who calls on me, Lord, Lord, will be saved, but only those who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Yeah, those are the words of the Messiah from his own lips. So stop listening to these liars, hypocrites at the corporate church, these Pharisees who are only worried about one thing, and that is keeping their own little corner of the universe alive. Their pension plans and retirement plans and medical plans and paying the big mortgages on their houses and on their multi-million-dollar corporate complexes. He said, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightst be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. And that's the same thing as the pastor saying, oh, you don't have to take care of your mother and father. That's what Social Security is there for. You don't have to take care of them. And children, obey your father and mother. Oh, you don't have to do that. When you're 18, you can leave and do whatever you want. The state gives you license. That's right. You don't have to obey your parents anymore. The law of God was nailed to the cross. That's right. Don't worry about it. California, the state of California, Governor Schwarzenegger He'll give you a license to marry whoever you want, even if it's a man marrying a man. Yes, that's right. It's all coming. Your God will please you. That's right. He'll change his laws for you. You know, I'm glad that I follow the God that doesn't change. I don't have to worry about it. I know his law, and I don't have to worry about him changing it. I get to the door of heaven. Oh, well, didn't you notice on such and such a day that, you know, section A, B, C, part D, number paragraph 1, line 53, I changed that. Now you have to go to hell. That's too bad you didn't catch that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the gods of this world. That's what they do. And they want you to pay, well, maybe in their prisons. They'd like to get us all there. You know, America, the police state. We were talking about America changing its government. It did change. In 1860, whatever date it was that they passed Reconstruction, where they reconstructed the government of America, there are some that fought tooth and nail, but, well, you know, the money powers have their way of paying off people because they control the money and things get through. And it changed from, well, a confederation of free states or a federation of free states into a one fascist nation held together by force. And I must say it now, and I hope people understand it, and I hope people will start to quote me on it. It'd be nice if they give me credit, too, because I wouldn't mind taking credit. That way they know where who I am and where to find me. But Lincoln accomplished in America what Hitler failed to do in Europe. That's right. And that is the truth. That is an undeniable truth that no one can deny. Lincoln accomplished in America what Hitler failed to do in Europe. Nicholas Arthur, that's right. Quote me on it. I'll say it again. Lincoln accomplished in America what Hitler failed to do in Europe. That's the stark reality. Those are the two horns on the second beast of Revelation. The first horn, lamb-like. The second horn, fascist and morphing to become more and more the image of the first beast. And the scripture says, and the second beast exercised all the powers of the first beast before it. And we're seeing those signs today, are we? Aren't you seeing those signs? Since World War II, what has America been doing? They've been running around the world like the imperialist Roman Empire. And that's what America is. First, it will be imperialist like Rome. And it has been. And now we're going to see it morphing into the second phase of the Roman Empire, becoming a fascist, imperialist, religious, persecuting power. And we see it, the beginning of it morphing into that right now. And everybody's keeping their mouth shut. Nobody's doing anything about it. They're just letting it happen. They have well learned their lessons from history, how to control people with the tools that they have, with the mass media that they have, how to condition people's minds, how to control their emotions to get their desired result, even if the result is keeping everybody's mouth shut while they begin their persecutions. And the persecutions, starting out now, just separating and destroying families because of religious beliefs or because they're saying the wrong things about the beast powers, to soon enough, they will be ordering our internments into their camps, and then they will be rounding us up, and then after a while, they will be killing us. Oh, the Hitler had his practice. You know, the Third Reich. Well, the Fourth Reich is here. And what is the Reich? It's the Roman Empire. No doubt about it. Germany was the head of the Holy Roman Inquisition that exterminated most of the Jews. And who are these Jews they exterminated? Well, they weren't the Talmudic Babylonian Jews, the ones that follow and worship at the feet of Mystery Babylon. They were the ones that would accept no other god except the God of the Old Testament. They certainly would not accept the Roman God, the what do they call him? Pompous Maximus? Pompous. That's a pretty good nickname for him. Pompous Maximus. But you know who I'm talking about. And all of us who will not accept Pompous Maximus, well, they've got plans for us. But I'm not going down without a fight. If they take my children, I'm not going to grovel on the floor to floor of some courtroom. Count on it. I've already been to their courtrooms. I know what they're groveling. I know what good it does. Does no good at all. If the fix is in, the fix is in. And I can read the handwriting is on the wall. The fix is in. Let's continue here in Mark. Speaking of these hypocrites, these Pharisees, these pompous religious, corporate religious leaders of his day, said, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And when he called all the people unto him, he said, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they which defile the man. Now, this is not instruction on diet, as many would believe. They want to throw out the law of God because the Messiah said this, but he wasn't giving an instruction on diet. If you take it in context, what he's saying is what you are, what comes out of your mouth is what truly defiles you. It's not what goes into the mouth. Yes, you could eat pig if you had to. You could eat something uncleanly, but in this case, it's about the washing of your hands and cups. Well, we know that if we drink a cup of gasoline or poison, we know that it will kill us or seriously harm us. So the Messiah is obviously not talking about a physicality here. He's not talking about diet. He's not talking about poison. This is not instruction on diet. It's not contrary to the law of God. There's a great deal to be learned and to be gained by following the dietary laws of our Heavenly Father's word. He would be contradicting himself if that's what the case was here. But he says, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. And not only that, we have the eternal view in sight here, because we're all going to die anyway. And that's another point that needs to be made. Yes, we can eat healthy, but in the end, we have that death sentence on us that we inherited from our great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam, and his wife, Eve. When they ate that fruit, that sentence was passed on to all of us. Yes, we shall surely die. That was the sentence. You shall surely die. And here we are. We shall surely die. There's no way to get around that. So that's not the point of what the Messiah says is saying here. He's saying it's what comes out of a man that defiles him. What comes out of you? Backbitings, covetousness, greed, false accusations against your brother, slanders. These are the things that come out of a man. These are the things that the Messiah is talking about. And compared to what goes into your body, you could drink the worst poison there is, and it won't be as poisonous as the things that defile a man that come out of him. He says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Continuing here in verse 17, chapter 7 of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. Ah, now here, he's going to lay it on the line for us. Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entering into a man cannot defile him? And like I said, well, yeah, I know if you drink a couple of gasoline, that'll defile your flesh. So he's not talking about physical drink and what you eat. This is not instruction on diet, because it entereth not into his heart. So he's not talking about food. He says, but it enters into your belly and goeth out in the draught, purging all meats. And certainly, you know, given the time and place where he is, they're in Israel. they're not eating pork and this, they're not eating unclean foods. They're practicing eating right things. So he's talking about specifically the washing of cups and so forth, and of pots and pans, and keeping things perfectly clean and going and making it ritual. But he said that which come out of the man, that defileth the man. For within, from within, out of his heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. This is what the Messiah is teaching us about. These are the things. This is what he's talking about. This has nothing to do with diet. What comes out of you? And that's what you need to watch. What's coming out of your mouth? What are you doing? Judge. Judge your thought life. Judge every word that comes out of your mouth. That's what he's telling you. Judge all of the actions, everything you do, and bring it all into the obedience of the Word of God. Bring everything into obedience with him. And that's what the scribes and the Pharisees neglected to do. Oh, they focused on washing the hands and washing the cups and folding the little napkins and waving the incense burners and wearing the robes right and putting the phylacteries on their foreheads. Meanwhile, what's proceeding? Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride and foolishness. All of these things were coming out of them and defiling them, and they were blind to it. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'll be back after the news.